Today on Real Radio.
We as a body do not allow these things to encroach upon our lives, that the glory will depart from our lives. As a church, let's be humble. Let's be little in our own mind.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. And Pastor Jack has been in a multi-part mini-series taken from the first 11 verses of chapter 4. Now, sadly, the book tells of how Israel once again had to deal with their old enemies, the Philistines. And this time around, Israel was defeated, quite badly as a matter of fact, having lost tens of thousands of their own fighting men. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his mini-series called When the Glory Has Departed.
And that's a great verse. We need to have, you know what, if I was dictator of this country, I would have this spray painted on every tank and every missile and airplane and ship of this United States. Some trust in missiles, some trust in submarines, but we will trust in the Lord our God. That's what needs to be flying over our ships and over our bases. We need to be careful too and trust in external things. We can, as they did, they trusted it in religious things. The ark was a representation of God. So they're trusting in something religious. Man, that could really, we could spend a couple of years on this topic because we could trust in things. Well, I don't really get much out of the church I go to, but man, they got the best stained glass I've ever seen. Well, what's more important? What's going to last? Well, I know the church I go to is really dead, but man, they got the best bingo thing going. It's so cool. But I don't learn a thing out of it, but man, the bingo's really great. And then it becomes even, or it can be more religious to where, you know, I don't understand really what's going on, but it's just, it's the tradition and the everything about it, I like it. Is that your experience? Don't let the glory depart. And it's obvious here that these guys in the nation were trusting in what was of the nation at one time glorious. God is not honoring anymore. You ever seen a dead man try to play baseball? You can't. You're not gonna. Even if somebody got behind him and propped him up. You know, throw the ball. You know, something looks wrong here. Trusting in what was. Come on, this worked last year. Let's do it again. Trusting in what was. Isn't that funny? We can slip into this easy. Well, it worked last year. But wait, God was in it last year. Is that what he wants to do this year? Be careful. Bring the ark. Will win. Why did they say that? Because from past experiences, they had heard and read about victories where the ark was brought into battle. They remembered Joshua. Remember those days? They brought the ark out there. They went around. They blew the trumpet. The walls came down. Get the ark. It happened back then. Number 6. When the glory is departed, there'll be no spiritual power. Like a train that pulls its power off. See a big train going down the track? Big diesel train with 100 cars. It's going down the track. And that train, you know, listen, that train can pull its power off. And you'll never know it. That train will continue on. If the ground is flat, for miles, that train will keep going. Why? Because of the inertia that's behind that weight. It will go and go and go and go and go. And here's the amazing thing. If you're on the train and the power's been pulled off, That train will slow down so slowly that you will not recognize that the train is slowing down. It's like a frog in the water. You know where you heat up the water? He'll never know it's heating up until he boils himself to death. You put a frog in hot water and he jumps out. But if you put a frog in cold water and turn the flame up underneath, he'll sit in that thing until he cooks to death. He doesn't know.
It seems fine to me.
People sitting in a train, slowing down. No more power, no more spiritual power or movement forward. But you're going off of what was and the power that was, and you're moving along. And there's movement, so you think, well, we're all right. We're okay. I'm going to share something with you guys that's really personal. And Jim, you'll remember this. I have had one vision in my life, and I'm going to tell you what it was. It was about this church, and it was kind of cool. It was in the middle of the Mojave Desert, barren desert, nothing. And out of the horizon came a cloud. And the cloud, as it approached, I could see that there was a train underneath the cloud, a little train. A short train. It had the engine, and it had a flatbed on the back with a big cup, big bucket, huge thing. And as it got closer, I noticed there was no train track. It was coming right at me. There's no train track. As it got closer, though, and as a cloud was over this train, I could see the rain falling into the bucket. And the bucket would fill up, and it would spill over, and the water would flow out across the desert, and a paradise would explode in the sand. Beautiful oasis. Then it would go and go and go and go, and up would fill the bucket, and then it would flow over, and boom, there would be this wonderful oasis again through the desert. What was really amazing, what ministered to my heart the most, and I shared it with Jim, and Jim began, God gave Jim the meaning of it. It was wonderful. As that train got closer to me, having no track in front of it, every time that train came to the edge of the track that was just underneath it, there was only enough track to accommodate the wheels. And until the front wheel went off that track, and then another, you know the little kiddie tracks that you train set? Another one came in right underneath it. And then it got to the end of that one, and this train was moving right underneath it. Enough track just for the moment to keep going. Its mission, deliver fresh water to a dry and thirsty land. And the Lord had shown us that that's what this church is going to do. But you pull the power off of that train, and you know, it might continue for a while. And a dangerous thing in our lives, when the power's been pulled off, we're no longer drawing strength from the Lord. One of the things that we'll notice is that we don't have any more power anymore to fight the things of the flesh. We will call upon the name of God, we'll claim to be Christians, and yet we're dabbling in pornography. Something seriously wrong. We name the name of Christ, we call ourselves Christians, but we're still drawing that line of cocaine. Something is wrong. I am not going to sit in judgment on someone's soul. I can't. It's not my place. But the Bible says, come out from among the world and be separate. How do you do that? You can't do that unless you are seeking and holding fast to the power of the Holy Spirit. His power. And there are families falling apart today in Christianity. I mean, power. The husband, the father, the mother, the wife, no power anymore. It's tragic. There'll be a continual defeat by the flesh. The second thing, there'll be an inability to finish the work that you'll sign up to do. Or you'll raise your hand. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll take care. And there's no power to complete. There's this gross inability to complete a work that God wants to do in your life. Because as Christians, he's called all of us to serve, and it's gone. We become spectator Christians, which is an oxymoron, you know. How can you be a spectator Christian? And you stand on the sidelines. And these are hard things. These are convicting things. We have to look at them. We don't want to go this way. In verse 11 of this chapter, it says there, and also the ark was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. We see here that there is a negative impact for Christ. The sons of the priests, they died. They're captured, and they were killed. How tragic. The Bible warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It's an amazing thing. 1 Corinthians 5, 1. Paul warns us there that in the church at Corinth, there was actually sexual immorality going on within the church, and the church allowed it. They tolerated it. And Paul says, man, you guys are allowing stuff that not even the Gentiles do. The non-believers don't even do this stuff. And what happened to these two men happened to a lot of people today, and that is that they give the world a reason to slam the church and to put down Christ. Oh, look, you Christians are no different than anybody else. You rip people off. You cheat on your income tax. You this and that. And just absolutely no impact for Christ. Powerless. It's very, very sad and very convicting. Number 7, we're going to finish these tonight, as you can tell. We're going to get these done. Number 7, there will be no spiritual victories. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 4, verse 6, it says, now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of this great noise in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Well, if you read on, they got whipped again. It didn't mean anything. They lined up there, we're going to whip you, Philistines. Rawr! You know, they're like guys on the NFL. They got their faces all blackened and stuff. They're, rawr, 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 and they run out there and they get mulled over. No spiritual victories. Why? How does it apply to our lives? Very quickly. They had no spiritual victories because they were no threat to the satanic realm. They didn't mean anything to Satan. They were already whipped. Listen, as Christians, we want to make sure that we are a threat to Satan. They were not a threat. When the glory is departed from your life, you're no threat to Satan. Don't you want Satan to tremble when your name is brought up? Oh, man, golly, I don't want... Oh! You say, well, Jack, we're nothing, you know, to meet Satan. That's right, but listen. I love the fact that when we pray, we plug in to the greatest source of power, that the satanic world trembles. What's the old thing? The Puritans used to say it. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian upon his knees. Isn't that great? I love it. No. A Christian where the glory has departed from their lives, no more spiritual victories. They're like a reed blown in the wind. No threat to Satan. They just sit there and they're defeated and they're weary. They don't even know why. Also, the next thing that happens in their lives is that they become very liberal in their thinking. Their liberal thinking will prevail over the scriptures. I have to be careful on this. They'll name the name of Christ, and I love God, you know, and yeah, I remember things used to be better for me in the Lord, but they have no problem condoning and even endorsing and even voting for abortion or whatever. And yet God says he's against that. God says he's for the life of the unborn. God says in Micah, don't take the fruit of your womb and sacrifice it for your sin. And yet people vote for people and for a party that says, let's kill the kids. They're not viable things anyway. Just all right. We can use part of them for research. That's a good thing, right? I know God, and you embrace things that God is dead set against. How do you rec- reconcile that? I say, man, you're getting really legalistic. I am not, haven't even started yet. And this has nothing to do with legalism. This is holiness. Holiness. You think we're going to get to heaven and murder 4,000 babies a day? Is that what we're doing? Something like that? Liberal in thinking. You'll hear people say, well, you know, there's a lot of ways to God. And, you know, don't. And I hear this all the time from people visiting here. I hope they're just visiting here. They'll say, you know, this group and that cult and this person that, you know, burns the Bible and stuff, you shouldn't say anything about them because, you know, every person just to find their own way. And then why did Jesus die on the cross? If it's so open, then why did he die on the cross? Why did he say he was the way, the truth, and the life? Nobody comes to the Father, he said, but through me. If you can make up your own way, then what in the world was Jesus doing? Quickly, another consideration under spiritual or the lack of spiritual victories here is that there'll be no personal investment in the things of God, in the things of the church. No, they're not investing in the church. They're goers, but they're not builders. And this is really sad, and this is very convicting, but nobody in the church, regarding a person whose the glory is departed from their life, nobody in the church is depending upon them. That's sad. Let me put it this way. Is or are there people in the church depending upon you? That's where you want to be, people. That's where we all want to be, that someone in the church depends upon you. Maybe it's putting the cones out there or putting the labels on the cassettes or having the rows straight or the carpet cleaned. But is the church depending upon you for something? I don't mean the church as the name, but the all of us. Are we dependent upon you and upon you and upon me and vice versa? That's the way it's got to be. That's the way God wants it to be. You can read more about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 down to verse 29, but we need to press on. Number 8, there'll be no spiritual witness. Because the Word, remember number 1, the Bible, is not a priority in your life, you'll have no true worship going on in your life. That leads to failure or to pass on the baton to your kids. And like ourselves, or like anyone who's slipping away this way, there's no spiritual awareness in their lives. And that leads to an independence from God, which results in a powerless life. And a powerless life results in no spiritual victories, which generates a very, very poor witness. And well, how is that? There'll be no spiritual witness in that. No one around us knows that we follow Jesus. They can't tell you and I apart if the glory's departed from our lives, from anyone else in this world. And that's a very terrible thing. A second thing is that no one asks us to pray. I thought about this one today and putting this together, how tragic it is. If you name the name of Jesus and yet no one looks to you and says, will you pray for me? And I thought about this, how convicting it is. And the reason why no one asks you to pray, perhaps, if the glory has departed from your life, is that, you know, you've never offered to pray for anyone. They don't know to come to you and pray. Wouldn't it be a great thing if we just started, can I pray for you? Listen, I've got 2 people in my life every week, and I'm so blessed every week. One's a woman and one's a man, and God's put it on their hearts to come up to me and say, what can I pray for you for this week? They've been asking me this for years. Isn't it wonderful? They approached me. That's how I met them. They came to me here and said, can I pray for you? Give me something to pray for. They stepped out. I guarantee you, when I want someone to pray for me, you know who I call. I look for them. Is anyone in this church dependent upon you or would look to you or would consult you for prayer? Man, this is convicting. I don't want the glory to depart from my life. Thirdly, quickly, we'll have no desire to tell other people. If the glory is departed, we'll have no desire to tell other people. Number nine, there'll be no spiritual influence in our lives. Like Lazarus in John 11, he's given life, but he's got to hobble out of the tomb. Someone's got to have him unwrap him. He's got life, but he's bound up. No spiritual influence. You may be born again, but you've slipped away. And there's no influence. Number nine. Number 10, there'll be no spiritual future. There'll be no vision about the future. How so? Well, first of all, there's a slow backward slide. As we said earlier, it just happens. It doesn't explode on you. You begin to slip. The second thing is there'll be a growing embittered heart. And we've all met these people. They criticize and chew on everything. Look at this stupid parking lot. Where are we supposed to park? This is ridiculous. How come the hallways are so narrow? You know, the ceiling, it's black. What's that all about? I mean, on. And they don't listen. I know this is hard stuff. And I feel sorry for those of you who are visiting tonight, but think about how convicting this is to the believer in that if you're in that place of, no, and you're bitter, your heart's bitter. Amazing. Whenever you and I are bitter and we begin to criticize, do you know who we're actually criticizing? Is the Lord. If you can get bitter about anything. Well, how come you're the pastor? Let me tell you something right now. I did not ask for this job. Let the record show. See me tomorrow. You can have it. God does these things. Well, how come she's on the worship group? Be careful. Watch your heart. And then finally, in your life, if the glory has departed, you may be sitting right in church, very faithful, every week, but you're lonely in the church. You're lonely in the church. You come in, and you go out, and there's no change. We have to be so very careful. We as a body do not allow these things to encroach upon our lives, that the glory will depart from our lives. As a church, let's be humble. Let's be little in our own mind. Let's be careful and prayerful. Let's be keen on worship and the word. Let's tell our kids about the great things that God has done. Let's be dependent upon the Lord. That's a great thing to teach our kids, to be dependent upon God. Teach them to be sensitive or aware of the things of the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When the Glory Has Departed, an insightful look at the first 11 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 4. Again, the title, When the Glory Has Departed. In fact, it's a multi-part mini-series taken from this passage, which means that we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, I want to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs every Wednesday night live on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. You know, we've got a few programs on hischannel.com. His channel is where you can watch Journey with Jack Hibbs, which airs different times during the week, Real Life with Jack Hibbs that airs every Monday night at 7 West Coast time, and Pastor Jack's midweek study live on Wednesday nights at 7:30. Those are all West Coast times. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.